Are you a saint? Do you act in a saintly fashion? A saint, by man's definition, is someone who has lived an exceptionally holy life and then is venerated after death by way of praying to them or certain images of them or worshiping saints. There are religions that have special categories of saints, and they pray to them and make images and they worship them. Are you one of those? Am I one of those? You know, when I was a kid back in the 1970s, we used to watch a television program called The Return of the Saint. And it was titled that because the man there was a superhero who went about saving people. He would fight crime. He would find criminals and put them in judgment and put them in jail. And he would help innocent people and innocent bystanders and old people and people that were helpless. And he was called the saint. He was a good person. He went around doing good deeds. And sometimes other people have the idea that a saint by definition is someone who is sinless. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, well, I don't claim to be a saint. Or a saint has a little halo above his or her head and they're floating around in heaven somewhere. But a saint by God's definition is different. It's not someone who has lived an exceptionally holy life and then is venerated and is on a certain religious list. It's not someone who is sinless, who's never committed a sin. A saint, by God's definition, is anyone who has been set apart from sin through obedience to the gospel. And you, friend, can do that. You can be a saint. Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul addresses the saints. They're not a special group of people that are venerated after death. They are people living at the time of Paul. They're ordinary men and women of all ages, young and old, men and women, living ordinary lives, but extraordinary in the sense that they are striving to be set apart. The word has the idea of set apart or consecrated, away from sin and dedicated and consecrated to Christ. Are you a saint because you have obeyed the gospel? This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about behavior that is becoming of saints. And I want to start with Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bible and want to turn over there. The Apostle Paul is going to talk about a particular kind of conduct, and he uses this word becoming, and we're going to focus on that today. It means that which is fitting or proper. Sometimes in the military, they'll use that term unbecoming, conduct unbecoming of an officer, conduct unbecoming of a soldier. And so it is conduct that is fitting or proper or not fitting, not proper, improper. So you're either acting in a becoming way or an unbecoming way. And Paul uses that. Newer versions read a little bit differently, but in Ephesians chapter 5, the older word becoming or becometh is used in some of the older versions. I'm reading from the American Standard Version, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. For know this of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. And so Paul is talking about behavior that is becoming or not becoming. The newer versions have the word proper. The New American Standard 2020 reads, "But sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or foolish talk or vulgar joking, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." So that which is proper or that which is not fitting. Do you engage in conduct becoming of a saint or unbecoming of a saint? A saint is a certain manner of life which is becoming. There is expected behavior. There is proper behavior. There is appropriate behavior. There are individuals who claim to be saints or Christians, and then you find out behind the scenes they're hypocritical or they're lying or they are engaged in some sort of nefarious conduct. They are scamming people out of their money or misusing funds. You'll find this sometimes with televangelists. They'll beg the crowds for money, and then you find out later they were not using that money for proper evangelism or the proper work of the church. They were using it for their own selfish means or something else. So they were not acting becomingly. There's a proverb, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. It talks about, "Just as a ring of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman who is without discretion." It would be improper, inappropriate, not fitting to put a ring of gold in a pig's nose. That just doesn't match, because you have something that is highly prized in a gold ring, and then you have a dirty old pig. And those two just don't go together. And so that's the proverb. And that's what happens today. You've got individuals living in a way, they're claiming one thing, but they're engaged in unbecoming behavior. And so Paul says, "Let this not be named among you as becometh saints." What that's saying, friends, is that there is a bar that has to be achieved, and that bar, that expected behavior, that fitting behavior, that proper behavior, that appropriate behavior is set by God in His Word. And we're going to look at some passages in just a minute. There's a standard, there's a bar. And in society today, that has been lowered to the point it is so low that anybody can engage in anything, and they can describe themselves as saints or Christians or other in other ways, and everybody's fine with the worldly and the immoral behavior. And you look at just what was mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 5, fornication or sexual immorality, that's sexual conduct outside of marriage, a proper God-ordained scriptural marriage, that goes on all the time. And uncleanness and covetousness and improper use of the tongue in verse 4. It goes on all the time with the profanity and the taking God's name in vain. And then he even goes on to say in verse 4, fornication, covetousness, greed, money, that goes on all the time. Idolatry, bowing down to something other than God, the one true God. All of these things and many other things like that take place today, and people don't bat an eye. It's not a big deal. We've got to get back to conduct becoming of a saint. becoming of a true child of God. That doesn't mean we're never going to sin again if we were to do that. 1 John 1, 7 through 9, we can confess that, we can repent of that, we can pray for forgiveness, and Jesus will forgive us. But we're not just going to live in sin while all along saying, well, you know, I'm a saint, I'm a Christian. In fact, John goes on to talk about later in that same book, in chapter 3, 7, 8, 9, and 10, long in there, that a Christian will not continue in a life and a walk of sin. They're not going to do that. There may be an occasional slip up here where they give into temptation here or there, but they're not going to just live a life of daily continuing in sin. They're not going to do that. And we've got to get back to that bar. Friends, come up out of the muck and the mire of the world. Rise above that. You're better than that. You can live better than that. God wants you to. God has made you and designed you in His image. You don't have to slump into this muck and mire of what the devil wants. But raise the bar in your own life and for your children and for those around you. We see the drugs and the alcohol and the abuse and the divorce and the greed and the corruption and the lying and the hypocrisy and the murder and the violence. You can live above that. You're better than that. And I want to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to show you the way this morning. It's not by what we think or feel. It's not by reading some self-help manual written by man. It's not looking at a YouTube video. It's reading the Word of God. God sets the standard of saintly behavior, holy and godly behavior. Let's continue to look at this idea of what is becoming. In Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there in verse 28, talking about people who don't want God in their lives, and that's many people today, even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. It's not proper and appropriate for individuals to engage in these things. And so he mentions several things: unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's where a mother, for example, does not love her own child. That's one of the main problems with abortion. Unmerciful. Does that describe our world today? Yes, it certainly does. And it's not fitting. But when you refuse to have God in your knowledge, first of all, God's not going to force you to believe and obey Him. He's not going to do that. He will give you up to a reprobate mind, an ungodly, unprincipled, unsaved, unguided by truth, a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. And that's what we're seeing in our society today. God sets that standard. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1:10, Paul says, to walk worthily of the Lord, not of our own culture. God sets the bar. Let's walk by His standard, His bar, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, God's knowledge tells us how to walk worthily in a way that He would like. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, to the end that you should walk worthily of God, who calleth you into His own kingdom and glory. That's the bar that we're trying to meet. That's the standard. And somebody says, well, wait a minute. if this is God's standard, it's going to be so high that we can't keep it. And friends, that is not the case. God does not set a bar so high that you cannot keep it. That would run contrary, actually, to God's nature. He loves us. He's not going to make something that is impossible to meet. He wants us to meet that goal so that He can be with us and we can be with Him in heaven. He wants us to be together with Him in heaven. He's not going to set a bar so high that we can't reach it. He's not going to set a gospel standard where we can't hear it and obey it. And we see individuals throughout the scripture, men and women, who met that standard. They met that bar. They were not sinless, but when they sinned, they did what God said to do to fix that. And they lived by God's word. You can do it. I can do it. We can all do that. So don't get the idea that the bar is so high that nobody can meet it. But God sets that standard. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Verse 11. That our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. You can complete things. That verse says it right there. You can fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith. You can do that. 3 John verse 6, the little book of 3 John. We're reading places where God sets the standard and we can live according to that. In 3 John and verse 6, who bear witness of thy love, whom thou wilt do well to set forward on their journey worthily of God. So Gaius was supporting gospel preachers and they were living right and they were walking worthily of God. So you can do that. God sets the standard for saintly living, and He sets that standard in the gospel, in your Bible. And you can read that, and you can believe it and obey it. A couple more passages, and then we'll move on to some specific conduct that is becoming of saints. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's the standard. And you'll notice in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3, the things that he mentions that would be behavior, walking worthily of the calling, he doesn't mention impossible things. They are things that we can all do. You can be lowly and meek and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. You can give diligence to be unified with others according to the words of the Holy Spirit. In the bond of peace, you can be at peace with other people. These are things that we can achieve if we want to. And we must. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul would not have written that through the Holy Spirit if that cannot be achieved. Notice, number one, that there is a manner of life that has to match up with the gospel, worthy of the gospel. So there's a standard that we must meet, a standard that is becoming of a saint or a Christian. Number two, notice that that standard is the gospel, worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's not man's standard that we're trying to measure up to. It's God's standard, Christ's standard. And number three, you can do that. That whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit, you can do that, with one soul, you can do that, striving for the faith of the gospel, you can do that, and in nothing affrighted by the adversaries, you can do that, which is for them an evident token of perdition, but of your salvation, and that from God. Because to you it has been granted in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer on his behalf. You can do that, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul did it. Paul was not some superhuman individual who was able to live up to the standard of Christ and were not able to be like him. He says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. Friends, we can live better. We can live better. And I know you can. I want to encourage you that you can. And we can stop that behavior that is unbecoming of a saint and start living right. What are some of those things that are becoming? Well, let's list a few before we close this morning. Number one, one area of behavior that is becoming is to obey the righteous commands of God. Do what God wants us to do. And John says in 1 John 5, around verse 4, that his commands are not burdensome. They're not grievous. We can engage in them. They're not too hard. They're not too difficult. When Jesus was being baptized, and John said, I have need to be baptized of you, Jesus said, allow it now, for thus it becomes us, it is becoming, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's something that God wanted his son Jesus to do. That's becoming behavior, the righteous acts of the saints, Revelation 19 and verse 8. Just to simply obey the righteous commands of God, that's becoming. And it begins with baptism. It continues on through righteous living afterwards. Worshiping on the first day of the week with other Christians. Living right at home, in marriage, family, parenting, at work, at school. That's becoming behavior. Another area of becoming behavior is to be hospitable and helpful and serving others. And again, we're talking about people who can actually do it. Look at Romans 16, 1 and 2, when Paul is talking about various church members, men and women, in the first 16 verses. These are common, ordinary men and women who were Christians. We can be like this. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, for example, our sister, who is a servant of the church that is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord worthily of the saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever matter she may have need of you, for she herself also hath been a helper of many and of mine own self. She's acting worthily of the saints. What's she doing? Assisting others, serving others. She's a servant. She's a helper. You can do that. I can do that. And that's behavior becoming and worthy of a saint. We've already looked at Ephesians 5, 3, and 4. Another area of behavior that becometh saints is to live and speak pure lives. No uncorrupt speech. Speech that is vulgar. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. We need to live pure lives. That's behavior becoming of a Christian. Another area, and it's so common today for people to dress immodestly. They have very little on and they expose the body for the lust of the flesh. Designers, clothes designers for many, many years, over 50 years, they have been on record as saying clothes are designed, especially for women, to get men to look at them in a lustful way. The designers mention that. The people who make those clothes talk about that. It's no secret. It's common knowledge. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, Paul says, "In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair or golds or pearls or costly raiment." The focus is not on that. He's not saying it's improper to wear jewelry. He's saying that's not what the focus is to be on. It's not this only, or not this focus, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. What's becoming of a woman? To dress modestly and not put focus on physical things, but on inward spiritual things. That is what is becoming of a godly woman. Not using your body as a sexual enticement, or as people used to say years ago, eye candy. A woman who is acting in a becoming, a fitting and proper way, according to God's word, is not going to engage in any of that kind of thing. It's going to focus on the inward spiritual attitude. And not only that, but verse 10, through good works, out helping the Lord, helping others. Good works. That's what we need in today's world. Not selfishness, but helping others. It's the selfishness of everybody that is running this country down the drain. And we've got to get back to serving others through good works. But notice, again, Paul talks about women, which becometh women professing godliness. If you profess a certain behavior, I'm a Christian, then you need to, and I need to, engage in conduct becoming of that which we actually profess. If you're an officer in the military and you're professing that, you have to engage in activity that matches up with that high level of leadership. The same way in all walks of our life. And then last of all, behavior that is becoming of a saint is that which is sound doctrine, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. That we are to speak things which befit sound doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Friends, is your conduct becoming as is set forth by the gospel? Remember who we are. Remember what we need to be. Are you a saint by God's definition? If not, become one today. If you are, then live becomingly of that behavior. But if not, let me encourage you to become one, to hear the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to confess that, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be what God wants you to be. Come up out of that muck and mire of the world and be that saint that God wants you to be. Thank you for being with us this morning, and have a good day.